Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to Conscious Start with Leo on BBS Radio Talk Show. And I'm you, I wanted to say again, guest, but I'm your host, Magdalena Winkler. Well, thank you, everybody, for coming tonight or tuning in for this bi-weekly radio show dedicated to personal growth, global transformation, and awakening humanity. And what I like to do every time on my show is to bring incredible guests that actually support conscious living. And I'm so excited for tonight. I have this incredible guest who I know actually for quite a bit. His name is Joe Nunziata, and he's from Top Notch Training. Joe, welcome to the show.
Hi, Maglette. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. Joe, I would just kind of like to give our listener a little intro about you, and then, we can start with the interview, if that's okay.
Sure.
Okay, Joe Nunziata, as I said, is from Top Notch Training. He's a best-selling author. He's a spiritual, life, and business coach, professional speaker. Joe teaches that to make a permanent change, you must clear your negative energy and break destructive pattern on the and of behavior on the core level. Joe, what I'm just thinking about, break the pattern. Will that help also for the
I don't know about that. We can't guarantee weather. We just we're just trying to clear
better?
people's energy. We don't know about that.
Yes. So what I love actually about Joe, his enlightening programs, they are a unique blend of spirituality, psychology, philosophy, and the power of the internal energy. So, Joe, welcome to the show.
All right, thank you so much. As I said, it's good to be here.
Yes, and I'm so excited that you have a lot of similarity. What I do, I like to do also. I'm also in health and wellness myself, so dealing with the energy. So I totally understand where you're coming from. So I would like to start actually to ask you the question: what was the turning point that brought you to this radical change? Because I know your little history, but we wanted to kind of let our listener to know about you.
For me, it's interesting because I don't know that it was like one specific moment that really did it for me. I don't know that it was one moment. I think it was over a period of time. I was always very interested in personal development and personal growth as a young child, as a kid, as a teenager, late teens, early 20s. And then I started to struggle in my business life and my career and ended up going through a few bankruptcies by the time I was 30 years old. And little by little, I had been learning all these different principles and these different types of ideas. But I would have to say the struggling is the thing that really got me really into it, because I was so frustrated and I didn't understand why what I was doing wasn't working. And that's what really got me to dive deeper into it. But I don't know that I had that one moment. I think it was more of an accumulation of shifting over time.
Well, that could be also a turning point.
Yeah, definitely.
Would you be willing to share a little about your struggle, in the beginning, how that kind of, how did you went through the struggling period of your life?
Well, I'm originally from Brooklyn. My dad was a cop who became a narcotics detective. He ended up dying he got killed on the job when I was 12 years old. That was a very traumatic event. That right there, that was and I think if I was going to look at a turning point, that would be it. That event, that specific event was the turning point for me. And I, my whole life changed. I went from being, I was the oldest, a boy. I had a younger sister. I have a, and my mom, we were the only ones there. And all of a sudden, everything changed. And, your father's gone and life was turned upside down. And I felt very responsible. So I went out and said, I want to start working right away. I didn't even think about going to college. I went to work and I started to get out there early. I was always very entrepreneurial. I had done some things when I was younger, but really started a business when I was 19 years old. I actually bought a soda delivery business, and I was ready to kind of set the world on fire, and ended up lasting for 1 year and going bankrupt. And then I bounced around for a while and bartended in New York and lived in Manhattan for a while in New York City. And then ended up getting into advertising sales, started another business, ended up going through another bankruptcy. And, it was very frustrating because I was a very, diligent person. I was a hard worker. I was putting in a lot of hours. I always studied a lot, even though I didn't go to school. I was always studying, business and what was going on and how these things worked. So I was really frustrated with the whole thing. And those struggles led me to looking at alternatives and things that were different. And that's kind of what led me to the work.
You know, Joe, the reason why I like always to ask for stories, because I think the stories can be very powerful for people who are listening to it or who are actually struggling themselves to recognize that people who are right now or today successful, they didn't came to that, you know, success overnight. It was a journey.
Yeah, and I think that's something, you know, it's funny. I always say when I'm speaking at events, I tell people, I say, you see somebody, you don't see them until they become successful. You never see
exactly.
all the struggles. For many years, what I did, Magdalena, was I read biographies. So what I would do is I would go out. I must have read, I can't tell you how many biographies, because I wanted to really get into the story. Because, you know, you would see somebody and they would be on and they would be, oh, wow, they have this successful business or career, whatever it is that they're doing. But I never saw them. You know, I didn't know how they got there. And I was very... So, you know, usually on a TV show or something, you don't really get into those details. So that's what I did.
Exactly.
I started to read these biographies, and you would be like, oh, these stories were so, one was more amazing than the next. And that's when I said, wow, these people really have gone through the majority. I mean, some people had an easier road, but a lot of people really went through a lot to get where they were. And I agree with you. I think that was a good thing for me to do, because it gave me a perspective to say, no, it doesn't just, you don't just go out there and everything works out. It could happen, but that's certainly not the rule. It's the exception.
Exactly. And this is what I'm seeing by many people who are starting, you know, a new business or a new adventure, you know, that they passion gets so easily hijacked if they don't succeed by the first time.
Yeah. And, you know, people, when I wrote my first book, which was actually came out in 2001, which was called No More 9 to 5. One of the things in the book was about starting a business from home. And I actually went through a segment in the book where I talked about that initial energy and excitement that you have. And that does not last, because you kind of come out, you're all excited, you're going to start your own business. And I was actually showing people how to even keep their job and start the business on the side and whatever. But they have this initial kind of flush of energy and excitement, and then a few months go by or whatever, and things don't take off, or start, you know, it just doesn't happen. And then you see the difference. And one of the things I always say to people is, you know, don't, you know, I understand you're excited, and obviously it's good, it's emotional, and you want to be excited, but don't kind of expect that 3 months from now you're going to be ordering your Mercedes and you're going to be, you know, this is not the way it is. So it's good for people to understand that, you know, it takes time. And it's a process, and it doesn't just happen overnight.
Exactly. And I think this is very important, you know, to bring to the surface, so people understand that, you know, they should not get discouraged immediately if they don't succeed. You know, that you may have to make some adjustments. You may have to try something different, you know, to make it work, you know. And a lot of times, whenever you start something, it is not linear. So you may have to go left and right and do some kind of sidesteps.
Yeah, and also, you know, people have a certain idea or plan of how they think it will work. And as you get into it, you start learning different things and making adjustments. I've made so many over the years doing this a long time, where you start going one way and then you get pulled another way, or then a different thing comes up, or technology gets involved. You know, there's so many different things that happen. So you have to be kind of open to moving and flowing so you can do that.
Absolutely. And this is where I would like to kind of bring, I loved your idea. You know, I was just reading somewhere when you said, why resolution do not work.
Oh, New Year's resolutions, yes.
Yes. You know, and that would be something that, you know, people should kind of, I understand maybe the principle much deeper behind, because you can make a, you know, resolution every day. You don't have to wait for the new year,
of course,
you know, to start, you know, and then just go from there. Yes. Okay. Well, I'm excited about that. So now let me ask you a different question. What became the motivational point to help others? How did you came to this, you know, desire or passion? Okay, I can take this and, you know, help other people. What was
it was funny for me, because I was a natural trainer. And even when I started in sales, I started in sales as a young guy. And shortly after I started my working, the guy who was the boss said to me, listen, I'd like you to take the new guys out after I had worked there for a while and show them, you know, what to do. And I actually started getting paid extra money to do that. early on, I never thought of it as a career. I was just saying, okay, the guy thought I was good at it, and I just did it. I was, you know, my 20s. I wasn't thinking about that. But it was always something that came very easily to me, this teaching, training, piece of the work. So it was something for me. I was a good communicator. I was very good at you know, working with people and helping them. So it was just a natural, I think it was just a natural inherent thing in me. And it was something that I was very good at. I just was good at it. And this is something I tell people, whatever it is that you're doing, whatever the skill is, now obviously running the business and doing all that is something else, but the skill should come very easy and be very natural for you. If you're an accountant, or I have friends who work with the stock market or whatever it is, they're very good with numbers. They understand it. They get it. I am horrible. I can't do that. It's just something for me that I'm not good at it. But you want to go to an area where the skill comes very naturally to you, where you don't even have to. It's almost like, wow, this just comes easy to me. It doesn't mean you don't work at it, because I've worked at it and get better at it. But the skill should be something that you say, wow, I'm really, this is kind of a natural fit for me. That's important for people to understand.
How did that top-notch training come about? When did you make a decision for that?
Well, that was 92, actually. What happened was, at the time I was still working full-time, and I decided, people had started asking me about what I was doing, and I was kind of doing a lot of this work, and I decided to start doing some seminars on the side. That's kind of how I started. So I needed a company to have, because I wasn't just going to do it in my name. So that's how I started. Then I started the company, and I started doing this part time, and that was actually how the evolution of the No More 9-to-5 book came, because I worked for like 12 years while I was doing this part time, and that's how I eventually started doing it. But that was my process from then. That's the way I started.
How long did it actually take you, you know, to be, from the point you started until the company take off?
Well, you know, I was working full time for about 12 years. I was working, and I didn't put, you know, obviously I did as much as I could. And then, you know, I got married, and then I had a child, and then, you know, life comes in. And there were times when I have to tell you, I was doing a lot of stuff and working and, you know, having a baby and my getting married. And there were times when I didn't actually do much. And so it took a while. And then it was about a 12-year period where I did both until I finally got to a point where I said, okay, now I can do this full time and switch over. But that was just my journey. That's just the way it worked out for me. And I was working, and I had a family and bills to pay. And that's the way I did it. It was just, you know, everybody's different, but that was my way of getting from point A to point B.
Well, the reason why I'm asking is that because it's kind of great to see you on progress, because I actually follow you for quite a bit. I'm still getting actually emails from you. And I started to follow you when you wrote the book, Spiritual Selling.
Right. So that was 2007.
Okay, so 8 years.
Right, so that's a while ago, yeah.
Exactly, and it's kind of neat to watch, you know, somebody from the side to see, you know, how you were kind of growing into your own business. And I think right now, since you're in California, you really are taking off.
Yeah, well, we came out here because my son wanted to go to school, but I had been coming out here for years to do work. So I really loved it out here, and we decided to make the move. So it's been very good. It's been it's a great place to be. You know, as I said, it's a great energy out here. It's a different type. It's very different than the East Coast. So and nowadays too, you know, I do so many things virtually with a webinar or things like that, because a lot of people cannot get to you live, and it's important to be able to offer all these other ways to communicate with people so they can still participate and get involved, even though they don't have to get there in person.
Absolutely. So when you're working with your clients, what is the number one priority when you're working with them?
For me, when I'm working with someone, my priority is always going to be to identify as quickly as possible whatever is the obstacle that is stopping this person from going forward. We want to look and identify what is it, and the obstacles that we face are all internal. So there's nothing is that, see, everybody thinks the obstacles are external, but the obstacles are internal. And we want people to understand, my number one thing is to get people to identify what is the conflicted energy within themselves? What is the conflict between where they are and where they want to be? this is the key to the work. And that's the first thing that I want to do is say, okay, you're here, you want to be here. Let's understand what it is that's conflicted within you that's slowing you down to get there. And that's the first thing that I always like to do. So basically looking at coaching, when I'm working with somebody, individuals, even in groups actually, but my number one priority would be to identify the whatever their emotional issue is, the block that's stopping them from going forward. So whatever that issue is, whatever that block is, we want to identify that and also look for the conflict. What is the conflicted piece of it? What is it, the thing within that person that's conflicted that's stopping them from going forward? People tend to think these are external things, but the truth of the matter is they're always internal things. There's always something within yourself that has to be dealt with and addressed, and that's how we go forward. And that would be the first step for me whenever I work with anybody.
What is the biggest challenge that you are facing with clients, you know, the emotional issue?
It really depends. I think the biggest challenge for people in general is really being able to identify and know what they're feeling. And this is something that most of us did not learn as children. We did not learn, or were not encouraged to feel feelings. This was not something that we were taught to do. And people, when I start working with them and getting into this information or trying to help them, what ends up happening is they really struggle with the idea of, well, I don't really know what I'm feeling. How do I do this? So that's probably the most challenging part of the work for people, is really learning, in effect, it's almost like, it sounds hard to believe, but they're learning how to really feel your feelings at a deep level. And that's a very difficult thing for people, because most people have spent the majority of their lives actually not feeling their feelings. And now we're going into feeling your feelings. So it's a very interesting thing.
Well, I think that's maybe the primary point that we are where we are, because we were not feeling our feelings most of the time.
Yeah, and that is the problem, because most people are just going through the day kind of, you know, moving from one thing, one task to the next, or doing this or doing that and coming home and making dinner and, you know, taking care of kids or whatever they're doing. And they're just never stepping back to say, well, how do I feel? What's going on? What's happening within me? And you know, people then get into self-medication and things like that, or doing some kind of activities to de-stress themselves. But they're never really dealing with the actual core issue, and that's why it continues to happen for most people.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I mean, I'm myself in a health and wellness, and I'm a massage therapist for over 20 years, and I see with my clients too. It's incredibly difficult, you know, because people are always more or less the 95% in a serving mode, you know, always to make sure that everybody else is taken care of, and, you know, they totally forget about themselves. You know, totally disconnected from their own feelings, from their own body.
Yeah, it's funny, because I always use an example when I speak, and I hold up my cell phone and I say to people, the minute you see the cell phone getting down to the point where it has no more energy or juice, you plug it in right away. People get very nervous. They don't want their cell phone to die out, yet they don't do it for themselves. They can be themselves, exactly. You know, passing out in the street. And they're going to drive themselves crazy, or push yourself to the limit, when something like your cell phone, you would never, like, people are so nervous about their cell phone going out. So I make a joke and everybody laughs, but unfortunately it's a joke, but it's true. It's actually how people act. And they're very concerned about, you know, their phone or their computer or their tablet not running out of energy, but they don't worry about themselves. And this is important for us to focus on our own energy and how we feel, because the bottom line is you can't help anyone if you are not feeling good. And it may sound noble, or people think they're so wonderful because they take care of everybody and they do all these things. But really, at the end of the day, you're sacrificing yourself, and you know, nobody wins that way. It's just not a good way to operate.
But also, you know, a lot of people, you burn out with that, you know. So, okay, well, what I know also, you know, as I was reading, you know, about you, I was reading, you know, how you are helping big businesses. And what I would like to ask a question is, when you're dealing with the businesses and coaching them, what is the primary quality they are looking, you know, to create a better performance or increase the potentials in the business? Because I think this is a hugely important in the big businesses.
Yeah, well, you know, big businesses are looking always for to obviously they're looking to make more money and they're looking to be more successful. And I think a lot of them focus very much on just that bottom line philosophy or mentality. And what I try to do is get them to expand themselves a little bit, to look at it in a little bit of a larger scope. And meaning, what is it that you're doing? You know, how are you helping the world? What is it, how do you serve other people? Really starting to change the way they operate and the way they look to expand themselves. It's really taking them into a different consciousness to a degree. And obviously understanding that, yes, we have to keep money coming in and we have to do business and we have to be successful. That is definitely part of it. But it's helping them to see the big picture. And I think a lot of people in business get very tied up in the day-to-day and, you know, getting through the week and what they're doing and really looking at, you know, their place in the world and how they serve. And also, you know, how do they maximize the performance of the employees? That's a very important thing to look at, is to say, how do I maximize everybody's performance? And that's something that everybody should be looking at. And again, the old school model was a kind of more of a whipping type, you know, pushing people and whipping people. And now we really want to get more into a nurturing model where we're really taking care of these people. But also the people have to understand that they have a responsibility. So it's a two-way street. I think we want to get to that point, which of course we're moving toward it now more so, but really get to the point where both people are participating. The employees are participating. The management or the leadership is on the same page. And this kind of this different flow of energy going back and forth, as opposed to a separation, which I think has really been a big part of business for a long time. You have kind of the management, upper people, and then the other people underneath, and this kind of this unnerving feeling or this tense type feeling. And it's more of, hey, let's work together and make this place work. And everybody has to be responsible for what they're doing. And really everybody, we want to get everybody kind of rowing the boat in the same direction. That is critical to really get you where you want to go.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you that. Are other businesses actually open to this kind of coaching or new ideas, or that are they struggling in the beginning to accept the change?
I think it's, you know, it depends. There's certain people who are more open, just naturally they are, or they're more into this type of work. So they're more naturally open to doing it. There are other people who are not. They're more like, well, this is what we do and this is how we do it. And I'll modify, you know, and I do modify what I do with depending on who I'm working with. And if they're very conservative, I'm going to approach it a little differently than if the person is a little more open to doing these things. So it really depends. You know, I think it's kind of, I think right now I see it as we're kind of in the middle of this big transition and flow of, you know, there's a lot of movement right now as far as people starting to move into this area, but feeling, you know, do they really believe it? Do they really trust it? Do they really think it can work? And as we have more success, I think as we see more companies who work that way, I think it'll become at some point the way we do business. But it takes time like anything else.
When you're working with a big company, as you said, you know, money is important. You know, are they actually also putting the concern, or are they willing to go into the whole new aspect that, you know, the safety of the planet, safety of the humanity, and safety in you know, that we are kind of, you know, becoming conscious about our environment and people in it?
I think some people, I think to some degree, there are some that are, and I think others are not. It's almost like you're seeing it more and more. And now, you know, with social media and with all these things that are out there, these companies that were doing a lot of things for many years that nobody knew about, this stuff is all out there now. This information is all over the place. So it's harder, I think, for them to not be conscious because people are, in effect, calling them out all the time. And it's, you know, if somebody mistreats somebody, you know, they go on YouTube, and next thing you know, 9 million people saw a complaint. There was a guy
all
I remember.
Over the place.
It was something with, I forget what airline it was, but it was a number of years ago, and a guy was trying to bring his guitar on, and they wouldn't bring it on, and some whole thing happened, and the thing ended up breaking, and the guy wrote a song and played it on YouTube and ended up getting him, I forget how many people saw it, he ended up on like the Today Show in New York in the morning, and this was something that this airline had to kind of say, oh, wow, you know, we mishandled this, and they had to come out and make an apology, and this is what, you know, there's a lot more, people have a lot of power now that they didn't have before. And I think that's good because it does allow a regular consumer or customer, whatever, to say, hey, you know, I can go out here and, you know, think about yourself now. When you go to buy something or you go to go to a restaurant or whatever it is, everybody goes online first. Nobody just goes. You know, you unless you have a very strong recommendation. But for the most part, if you're thinking of doing – like when I moved to California from New York, I'm like, I didn't know anything. I didn't know any places. I didn't know – I mean, there were chain places. But, you know, I would go on right away and start to type in, you know, different doctors or and get all this information to see, yeah, is this the person I want to go to? Is this the person I want to use for this service or whatever it is? And it definitely has changed, I think, the way we operate. So it makes people more accountable because it's almost like – and listen, some people are better at hiding it, but it really makes people much more accountable, and they're not able to just hide, say, well, I can do this. You know, people were doing things forever, and nobody knew it. Now everybody knows, which I think is a really good thing. Of course, people are irresponsible with that as well, but for the most part, I think it's positive.
Well, let me ask you right now a more kind of question about you. I know that you are, you know, life and business coach, but did you ever yourself use coaches or mentors, or do you have somebody who really, you know, who you've been reading about change your life on the some, you know, or had that impact on you?
Well, I had different people.
Practically a role model, more or less.
For me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I, you know, I had different, of course, early on, I read the Deepak Chopras and the Wayne Dyers and things like that. And then I met a couple, I met different people as I went through my journey. And I had one teacher, my last teacher, her name was Susan Kerr, who was an enlightened master teacher. I did not know that when I met her. And she was the one who really taught me about the chakra system and the energy work. And the work that I've been doing now for about 11, 12 years is a lot of the things that I learned from her. And then she kind of pointed me in a direction of how to do a lot of it and research it on my own at some point. But she was probably the most powerful and most important teacher for me that I met. I met her in 2004, and she really helped me understand the energy system and really get much deeper into this emotional work that I do now. And she was definitely a very pivotal person for me.
And you know, look, like I said in the introduction, what I really like about the a unique blend what you're using, you know, the spirituality, psychology, and using the power of your inner energy, I think, you know, approaching from many different angles, it's just so amazing because it gives you a different outlook and you can actually change on the much deeper level.
Yeah, well, again, it goes beyond just the basic, okay, I'm going to set a goal and do A, B, C and try to go forward, which is fine, and people do that, and it does work to a degree. But really getting into understanding getting into some depth and understanding things at a deeper level, it really helps people change their lives and shift into a different place. So it's a very, very powerful way to live your life. And, you know, once you do it, as you know, as my teacher would say to me, once you know, you can't unknow. So you start knowing things, and then you know it. So there's nothing you can't escape. You know it, and you have to. It's something that once it comes into your consciousness, it's there.
You cannot put the genie in the bottle back.
No, anymore. Absolutely not. Some days I want to, but I can't.
Yes, no kidding. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm saying, right? There's certain days,
you know, just kind of shut down everything. I don't want to know anymore. Because sometimes, yeah, you're right. You know, sometimes it becomes just overwhelming and there's no end to it. That's the whole point. When you open up that field, it's so incredible, huge and big that it's endless.
Yeah, it really is a very deep place to go. So people, and you know, it's important, even me, you know, doing the work, I'll take times or I'll just say, you know, I'm just going to go to the beach or I'm just going to take a few days off. I'm not going to meditate for a couple of days, excuse me, because I just feel like I need a break. I just need to give myself a break. And it's some, you know, it's very intense work, and it's really becomes your way of living, but it's kind of like exercise. And you say, well, you know, I go to the gym all the time, but there's sometimes I say, no, I'm going to take a couple of days off. I'm a little sore, whatever it is. It's something you have to do for yourself, and monitoring yourself, and you know this, of course, doing your work, it's important to say, hey, you know what? The week before, toward the end of the week, I was going to go to a class on Sunday morning. I said, you know what? I'm just not feeling it. And rather than push myself, I knew better to say, let me just take a break. And it was the best thing I did because I started off the week in great shape. Had I pushed myself, I would have started to maybe gone too far and then who knows what, and then been tired coming into the beginning of the week. And it's a setback. So it's very important to monitor how you feel, especially when you're dealing with a lot of this kind of work and this emotional work.
Exactly, because sometimes your energy can get so scrambled that you're totally losing it. And yeah, I have to say, I just got my massage today afternoon, so I was actually thinking. I said, I hope I will be okay, you know, because when I receive the massage, I mean, I can space out for 2 days.
Yeah, no, I'm telling you. So, and sometimes I do. You know, I'll get into very deep meditations, or I'm doing certain work, and I'll just kind of drift out for a few days, and it's fine. And again, it's you have to be okay with that.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, I think what I like about this kind of work is that, you know, what I'm seeing for myself is that it's a progress, you know, it's a journey and a path, and it takes years until you kind of get used to that blending, you know, from the simple life into this more complex, you know, blending the energies, blending the new knowledge, you know, working with those patterns that they are not serving you anymore. So it's just a whole new aspect to the body, and, you know, adjustment to the body, and also to your nervous system and energy system.
Yeah, and I think it does take adjustment, because you are now living in a different, because you're still living a physical life. Mm-hmm. And you're living also a spiritual life. So there it is a very, you know, you still are functioning and operating in your physical body, and that's it. And but you're also, in certain cases, you aren't transcending, or you're going into different places, or you're living at a higher level. So it is an ongoing, and I find it to be an ongoing adjustment and balancing of those things to say, well, yeah, I still want to enjoy my physical life, but I understand that I have this going on as well. And it does take that constant kind of little, it's like kind of like, you know, when you see the teetering, you know, the balancing, and you're like you put a little bit over here, a little bit over here, and you just keep trying to balance it out.
Absolutely. So let me ask you the next question. So what area are you most interested to help people?
You know, I just want, really my focus with people is to help them become more peaceful and become empowered. Those are the two things that I focus on, because really I want people to have power, and not in an egoic way, but really have their own power, and also maintain a level of peacefulness. Those are the two things to me that are most valuable, and that's what I've gotten out of the work that has been the most important for me, which is really dealing with being powerful without having a big ego, and then also being able to stay in a nice, calm, peaceful state. Those to me have been the two things that is always my ultimate goal with everyone, to get them to be in that state. So that is always where I focus. It's obviously a journey to get there, but that to me is the ultimate goal of doing the work.
This is very interesting that you are using, you know, I mean, you're actually almost saying what I am doing. This is why I am calling my show Conscious Thought with Leo, meaning that, you know, to me, Leo is actually the embodiment of yourself in the physical world. And I had actually one of my first speaker who is an astrologer, and we were talking about that, you know, it's hugely important, you know, to know who you are and empower yourself, because not being grounded in your own body and in your energy system, you cannot bring down the most, you know, what you're looking, your own blueprint, not blueprint, but your desires and whatever you wanted to manifest. And it's important, because if you are not grounded, then somebody else who has a bigger ego can actually just brush you off, and you will say, holy cow, what did just happen to me? You know what I'm saying? So yeah.
Takes work.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, you know, that's very interesting. You know, like I said, you know, you just put it in a different words that I'm using for myself, definitely. So what would you say, what is actually the key to success?
Well, you know, that's an interesting word, because success, of course, is the word, which that's almost like trying to hold on to water. But because everybody's definition of success is different. So when we think about success, obviously, I think the first thing that comes to mind for people is money and success, and, you know, whether it's celebrity status or whatever, however, business people or athletes or whatever. And of course, that is, I think, the first thing that comes to mind for people when you think, oh, wow, they're very successful. You think of them that way. But I kind of look at it differently, because I'll look at it from, what does it mean to you as a person? And I think that's something that everybody has to really sit with and say, well, what is it? What is my life? What does the successful life for me look like? And it's important, I think, for everybody to do that exercise and really sit down with themselves and say, okay, what does a successful life look like for me? That is the first step in really being, as you said earlier, true to yourself. Because your version of success may be very different than my version. Doesn't mean one is right and one is wrong. It's just different. But the key is that I'm true to mine and you're true to yours. That is what people really, you know, one of the things that I know within myself that it's very important for me to be very aligned with the work I do and make sure I'm doing it in a certain way and I'm helping people do it. And there's certain things that are very important for me that I see as successful that somebody else may not. So I think it's important for us as individuals to look at that within ourselves and say, what does this mean for me? You know, again, we when I think about success, like I said, that's a word that we have to understand within ourselves. We all have our own idea or definition of whatever that is. So for me, it's important for people to be true to themselves in their own idea of what success is. And I think a lot of people, you know, they kind of carry the idea of success that they learned at home or in childhood or what they thought was supposed to make them successful. And it's important for people to say, well, what do I really want in my life? What does success look like for me? What's important? Really, success is going to be very closely tied for people to what's most important for them. And again, we look at it as money or fame or whatever the case may be. But basically, it's about the first step, the first thing people should do. And I do this with people when I work with business people as well. And I'll say, you know, really sit with it and say, what does success look like for you? And what is it that you want? And that, you know, it forces people to kind of sit down and go beyond the basic, well, I want to have a lot of money, or I want to be a successful business person, or I want to be a singer or a dancer or a writer or whatever it is. And it's important for us to all go and be in our truth and be aligned with that.
Mm-hmm. So I would then ask the question, what would you say to people who failed so many times and they feel still stuck, you know? How they could overcome this, you know, setback, or if they call it failure.
Well, you know, a lot of people, myself included, you know, I failed a lot, and I know what that feeling is. And one of the key to moving through it actually is embracing it, and instead of fighting it and just say, hey, you know, I failed. I'm gonna deal with that feeling and accept that feeling of failure and let myself go forward. And that to me was really the key to moving myself forward. Instead of resisting it, instead of making believe it didn't happen, instead of fighting against it, just allow myself to say, wow, okay, this didn't work out and I have to accept that, and I have to deal with the sadness and deal with the shame or whatever feeling I had around that failure. And once I did that, I was able to move forward. But before that, in the past, I just kept fighting it and just say, I'm not going to fail, or even if I did, I wouldn't accept it. And I said, the next time I'll do it this way and it'll work out, and then it wouldn't work out again, and I would go back. And moving out of that battling type of a mode was really the way I started to move forward, and that's the way I started to make changes, when I said, okay, I have to accept how I feel so I can move on. And it, of course, it's not as easy as it sounds.
Yes, exactly. And that will actually lead me to the next question. I read something you said about that any setbacks takes time to recover from, and you've been actually forced to, for the patience in your own process.
Yeah, and I was a very impatient person, especially growing up as a New York kid and, you know, hustling and working hard. And this idea of, you know, one of the things that I teach people, even in the business world too, and in anything really, is, you know, these are organic processes. We look at them as non-organic, but growing a business, growing a relationship, growing your health, because you're going through an organic process. If you're unhealthy and you want to be healthy, that's a process, and it takes time. It's an organic process, and it's kind of like saying, you know, I'm going to plant something in the ground that I understand. It's almost like taking that same understanding to say, well, I understand that will take time for that seed to grow. It's like a girl gets pregnant. You don't expect, you know, if a woman gets pregnant, you don't expect to have the kid 3 days later. It's right. It's a process. It takes time. There's a gestation period. There's a time that it just, and we accept that. So it's the same thing with when we're doing something new or growing our career, business, relationship, health, whatever, it's to understand that this is also something that takes time. It's a process, and it's organic. And see it that way. It's almost like saying, you know, I'm going to accept that this is a process that takes time, and I'm going to look for any shortcuts or anything that I can do to speed it up. But there are certain things that just take time, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to kind of right now, you know, ask a professional question so that, you know, it could help people make a choices why, you know, to hire a professional coach. So would you be willing to kind of help us, give us some kind of outlines, you know, why hiring a professional coach? You know, a lot of time people are asking, why should I pay?
Yeah, well, I think basically it's like someone going to therapy too, right? You go to therapy. I started with therapy. That's kind of how I started, and then I moved from there. But when it's very hard. You need somebody external, I think, to be objective, to look at you. And, you know, I just started working with a PR firm, and the first thing that the woman said, you know, is I want to bring you in for PR training. Now, I've been on TV, and I've been on radio, and I've been on a million different things. But she said, you're really good, and I've watched you, and I sent her some stuff. But she said, is this some things I want to show you? And it was amazing for me to sit there and say, wow, this was really great to understand, like, these little nuances of answering questions and how to be on the show and what's going on. It was really a great process for me to go through. And I'm always wanting to, even if it's speaking, I'll videotape myself and I'll watch it. And I had trainers then, you know, when I first started speaking, I went to learn what to do and how to do it and what's the best, most effective way. So you need an external person, especially when you're working on your inner self, because it's hard for us to see things clearly when we're in the middle of it. And especially with family things, and, you know, you're dealing with your family and you're dealing with a lot of emotion, and you need somebody externally who can look at that and say, okay, this is what's really going on. And we need to deal with these emotions. And in my case, I deal with the emotions and the energy. But regardless, or if it's a therapist, then they're able to kind of pull out all that drama or all that distortion and be much more clear than you could ever be with yourself. And I don't know that we can all do that. I think it's very hard for people. I think for me now, doing the work for many years, I've gotten very good at it. But again, I'll once in a while get a tune-up or speak to one of my friends or somebody who does energy work, and they'll do a healing, do some work on me, because again, I can't do it to myself. It's kind of like asking a doctor to do a heart surgery on himself. He can't do it. Mm-hmm. You would go to another heart surgeon and say, I need a heart surgery because I can't do it to myself. So it's the same idea that we all need external help to advance ourselves and become more clear.
Absolutely. Well, this is why I would like to emphasize this is very important, you know, for people who are listening and who are looking forward to, you know, hire a professional coach. That, for instance, you know, we are moving right now in the whole new direction. We are in whole new realities. We are changing, you know, the energies are changing and people are, you know, changing their consciousness. And so what is really going on that, you know, this kind of teaching, you know, that could help us to move forward. It's not taught in the schools or colleges, you know. So for those people who are seeking for this kind of help, it's good, you know, to look for somebody up. And what is also important, you know, you're a pioneer in this field.
Absolutely. And it is something that, as you said, they don't teach. It's not something you learn in school. It's not something most people learn at home. They don't learn it at home either, unless you grew up in an enlightened household, which most people didn't. And it is something that you have to seek out and find and do your homework. I always tell people, you know, do your due diligence, look at the person, make sure that person is a good match for you and they're aligned with you and you feel comfortable. You know, so you're looking for the right match like anything else. It's kind of like dating. You're looking for the right coach. You're looking for the right kind of person to get along with and be aligned with.
Yes. Joe, we still have maybe around 10, 12 minutes. What I would like to kind of highlight, you have a few things about, you know, books and stuff, but I really like the shot of Joe. I was watching your video, and you were talking about how our expectation create a pain. So give us a little information. What is A Shot of Joe about?
Well, shotofjoe.com, actually, if you go to ashotofjoe.com, is my YouTube channel. So I actually created the channel, and I put up videos there every week or every couple of weeks. And, you know, what I do is I just kind of take snippets of events, or sometimes I'll just, you know, shoot a quick video and put it up there and just give people these little insights in short, you know, short couple of minutes where they can, you know, grab an insight. The one you're speaking of is somewhere I was speaking recently about expectations. And what happens for people with us is, you know, we create an expectation of other people or ourselves or whatever the case. And then when that expectation is not met, we create upset and pain for ourselves. And one of the things that we want to stop doing is living your life through a series of expectations, which is what everybody does. It's very difficult because we all have certain expectations. Like when you wake up in the morning and you go to the sink, you expect water to come out. That's an expectation, believe it or not. It is one of those things, and those expectations are not really harmful, but when we start placing expectations on other people, or even unrealistic expectations on ourselves, we begin to create a lot of pain. And it's something that we really want to get away from. And I like to just do things because it feels good and just allow it to go wherever it goes. I don't have to put an expectation on it. But again, it's very hard because it is something we've all grown up with. We've all done it our whole lives. And it becomes challenging to just kind of live your life and say, well, I'm not going to put expectations on anything. Once again, it's one of those things that sounds great, but, you know, try to do it.
Yeah, because it becomes a pattern, and it's very difficult to, you know, get rid of the patterns because they're ingrained in our nervous system.
Yeah, they're very deeply ingrained in us, and there's something that, and we also have an identity. We have these patterns of behavior. We have these beliefs. All these things are floating around in there, and until we identify them and deal with them, they just keep creating problems. And that's why the work is about really understanding yourself and, like I said, identifying these issues and being aware. And then you can start making changes. But without doing that, you really can't do it.
Mm. What I really liked about is that, you know, when you're talking about, you can get off the wheel or you can stay in the drama.
Yeah, it's a choice. But see, the problem here, and I think one of the issues is people don't see it as a choice. They say, this is my family, this is the way it is, this is the way things are. So they don't see it as, I have a choice to not do this. And that is a very power, that, talk about empowering. That's empowering in and of itself for people just to say, well, I'm choosing to either stay in this cycle or not. And I will tell you from working with hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people over the years that most people do not see it that way. They don't see it as a choice. They just think, well, this is happening and this is what's happening to me and I can't, there's nothing I can do about it. And that right there, that's the total opposite of being empowered. Think about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Another thing what I love about when you said that we can't help our families.
Yeah, that's a tough one. You know, that was a hard one for me because, you know, when you do this work, you're about helping people. And it's frustrating.
Kidding.
It's frustrating, right? We're doing work that's about helping people. And now it's frustrating to say, wow, I can't help my family. And it is very upsetting on some level, but you also, again, this is something you have to accept and say, okay, these people, they're choosing, they want to stay in this same place, and I have to be okay with that. And that's the hard thing. You know, for me, it was, I had a lot of judgment because I would say, you know, I was judging them to say, well, why are you doing this and why are you acting like this and why are you living your life this way? And I had to really say, okay, I have to accept that this is what they're choosing to do, and that's their choice. Now,
yeah,
I can choose
to step back.
Yeah, and I chose not to be involved, but that was my choice. But they chose.
Yeah, it's very difficult. But it's very difficult.
Very difficult.
You know, I know from my own personal experience, it's like, you know, you think you can help the world, but you cannot help people around you who are the closest one. So it's very difficult to accept.
Yeah. It's virtually impossible, I have to tell you. Until the person wants to do it, you can't do anything.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, it's very hard for you to step back and accept that there's nothing that you can do about.
Yeah, I've gotten very good at it now. I will tell you that it took me a long time. It took me a long time. But now I will tell you that over the years, I have now become very good at accepting what is. And it has made my life markedly better because much easier. I am no longer fighting this battle that I can never win. And it's mm-hmm. much better mm-hmm. to just accept it and say, you know what, this is the way it is. And okay, I've tried, and the person is clearly not going down that road, and you have to just accept it.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, and I know you have also, you wrote a book also, No More 9-to-5.
Correct. That was my first book.
And then you did a spiritual selling book, right. Spiritual Selling. I have right. that.
Right.
And then No More on Mental Barrier.
Right,
I found that was awesome. I really like that when you did that.
That program, which I still do, yes. The No More Mental Barriers program. I do that one too.
I absolutely love that one.
Yeah, that's been a great one. And then I also do the Karma Buster, which is my most recent book, which is about your karma and your karmic energy.
Do you want to kind of elaborate a little on that book? Because I'm not familiar with that, so I would like to know a little more about what it's about.
Well, that book, you know, I wrote this book. It was called Karma Buster. It came out really beginning of 2012. And it was really a book about really demystification of karma, really for people to understand their karma and understand how it works in your life and how, in effect, you have a cycle of energy, which is your karmic cycle. And we're all here to be on the cycle. And then those of us who are on a higher path are clearing negative energy and changing that. And other people are just kind of going through their process. And I wanted people to just see, you know, karma in a little bit of a different way than the traditional, well, it's cause and effect, and you know, you do something good and something good happens and so forth. And there's so much more to it. I wanted to go more deeply into it and also give people, as I always do in all my work, practical tools to show people how they could deal with it. So how they could really say, okay, not only am I going to, I'm going to go through a process of not just okay, this is what your karma is, but also give them tools that they could use to clear the karma and get out of those negative cycles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, look, like I said, I really like, the No More Mental Barrier and Spiritual Selling. But look, like I said, that the Karma Buster, it was something new that I did not know about that. So it was interesting to find out. Joe, we are getting kind of to the end. We have maybe 5 minutes. What I would like to do for you is to, do you have anything you would like to announce, seminar, classes, books, whatever you're doing? This is your time right now. So let
thank you so much.
Know.
You know, I'm always doing something, and the best place to go, my main website is joenunz.com. So it's joenunz.com. And if somebody goes there, they can actually get click on my events tab and they'll see all the events we have coming up, whether they're live or virtual. And also the products are all there and all the information is there. There's also a free subscription to the weekly word that I send out. And there's also information about my membership program. So all that information is there. The books and all the programs are there at joenunz.com.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, look, like I said, I really liked, I was actually going through, watching some of your YouTubes and stuff. So it's pretty amazing. And there's a lot of stuff that is very beneficial for people, actually. And so is there anything else you would actually like to share with our listeners?
Well, I just, you know, to me, it's a journey. And understand that you're going to have ups and downs. And, you know, life is not about everything being perfect. So you're going to have good days and bad and good periods of time and other periods that are a little more difficult, but understand that it's all part of your journey. The more you live in acceptance of everything, the easier your life will be. And the more you resist it and fight it, the harder your life will be. And we're all going to have our experiences that are positive and negative. It's just part of life. So the more you're able to live in that state of acceptance, you'll make your life a lot easier.
That's pretty well done. Very, very well said. Yes, definitely. Because, you know, a lot of the time people are just so struggling and going against the flow. And what is really happening, they're actually creating much more obstacles that they have to overcome